two-time Grammy Award-winning songstress Kimbra has a new single out and is about to release her third album early next year. Kimbra's also contributed to a beautiful book, 200 Women, where women from around the world, famous and unknown, answer the same five questions, such as what really matters to you and, you know, what would you change in the world if you could? And it's attached to these interviews are these beautiful portraits of these 200 women. Kimbra is joining me now this morning from New York. A very good morning to you.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you very much for being with us this morning. I just want to say congratulations on the book. You are 27 years old. You seem to have a lot of wisdom.
Thank you very much. I'm really honoured to take part in that. It's such a beautiful project, you know, and so many amazing women involved.
It is a cool project, and it is about, for people that don't know a little bit about the book, it is about gender equality, and it's quite a beautiful and moving collection of the interviews and the photographs, and it must have been a real privilege to be involved. But regarding gender equality, is that something you feel you have to fight for in the music industry?
Well, obviously the music industry is pretty male-dominated, especially behind the scenes. I mean, we all know a lot of incredible female artists, but, you know, when it comes to the process of making music, you know, studios are often filled with a lot of male engineers, and, you know, you have to learn quickly how to, assert yourself and kind of get your point across. And I think for me, I've always tried to let my work speak for itself and really be well-educated on my vocabulary in the studio and really kind of, try to, but it is difficult at times, and you feel sometimes you are having to maybe push a little harder than men at the same age or the same sort of, you know, status in their career. So I've definitely experienced that, especially being a producer as well. You know, when you're working on a more technical side of the music industry, it's easy to maybe for people to make assumptions that perhaps you're not quite at the same level or, and so I've definitely, I don't know, I feel a really exciting movement going on where, and this book is a perfect example, we need to hear women's stories. We need to stop making assumptions. We need to hear women talk. And men, of course, we need to hear men talk about their experiences with women. And I think that's the point, isn't it? It's about people being able to have a voice and actually everyone speaking up to make sure everyone's got the same opportunities and given the same chance to prove themselves for their work, you know?
Absolutely. And social media this week, of course, as you'd be aware, flooded with hashtag Me Too on the back of the Harvey Weinstein scandal. Is sexual harassment prevalent in the music world?
It's pretty unfortunate to say that it's more common than people would think. I think probably the biggest issue that I observe is, you know, being a musician, you're naturally quite open, especially as a woman. You know, I think a lot of my favorite artists as well are, you know, very sensual performers and very sensual artists. And I think the problem with, you know, the industry is that it's very easy for people and, often men and that have a lot of influence and power to take that as an invitation of some sort, right? When you see a woman who's in control of her body and in control of her work as an artist and ambitious, and it's really disappointing to hear so many stories where there just hasn't been respect, you know, the same respect that would be shown to a male counterpart. I'm excited about that conversation that's going on as well. And I think it's amazing that when one person speaks up, that's it. It's that chain reaction, huh? It just takes the courage and bravery. And that book is another perfect example of that, you know. And it was a lot of men that actually started it as well. That really impressed me. The guy interviewing me, it was kind of a passion project for him and obviously a whole team. But I thought that was really impressive as well, you know, that this is actually about everyone standing up.
That's right. So tell me about the book. How did that come about? Did they just ring you up and go, hey, Kimbra, we think you're cool. Do you want to be in this book?
Yeah, totally. It was actually as simple as that, you know, and obviously I was super honored to be asked in the first place, but it's hard to know, like, the context of, when I'm doing a week of promo, there's a lot of interviews going on and you start to get into a zone and just think, cool, I'll answer some questions in and out. But I was really moved by that experience, by those five questions that I was asked. I was really moved by the simplicity and also what it led me to say, which perhaps I don't get the chance to be asked those sort of questions usually. It's kind of, you know, probably more surface level and you're talking about music and that's great. But it was just really cool to, I don't know, if you feel really respected when people actually take the time to ask you, okay, where do you find meaning? What is the most important word to you? What would you change? And it's great. And I remember actually writing them an email and saying, look, thank you. That interview really stood out to me, and I'm really moved to be a part of it. So it's nice.
You can see that when you read it too. I mean, it is. The whole book actually is a really moving read. The question I notice, you know, about what brings you happiness, ironically, for a musician, for you, it's silence.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was interested that I said that as well, because it kind of just came out as an answer that I hadn't thought too much about. But it makes sense when I reflect on it. I just think that it's probably out of silence that I appreciate music. You know, it's like that classic thing where it's comparative, isn't it? You appreciate, the city when you've been in, you know, a very isolated place for a long time. You appreciate stimulus. So I think in the same sense, when I come out of a period of silence or stillness, I can appreciate what I do so much more. And I need both.
I found it actually really relatable what you talked about in terms of that stillness, the grounding, you know, nature, that kind of thing. I think that's really, really never been more important, actually.
Well, you'd understand being a Kiwi. I think that's like, you know, born. It's part of how we're born, you know. It's like I think I just grew up so connected to my environment, and it was such a part of my identity, you know. And so, yeah, New York is incredible. I'm loving living here, but you just can't take that part of who I am away. And, again, it was nice to be asked about those things in an interview, because it kind of reminds yourself as an artist what drives you, you know, and what keeps you going. And it's not questions you get asked every day.
No, that's right. So you call New York home now, and I can detect a little American twang you've got going on there.
Oh, God. I apologize profusely.
No. All good. So why New York? And you know, what does that bring to your creativity?
Well, again, it's actually a bit reactive to living in LA. I was there for over 2 years, made the Golden Echo there, and look, it was a wonderful experience, but I was spending a lot of my life in the back of cars and on highways and, you know, reasonably disconnected in a lot of ways, because I just worked every day and was in studios and, like I said, on a highway back to an apartment. And it just, I think I crave that, connection that New York brings. You know, you're on the streets and you're engaging with people, you're engaging with reality in a quite confronting way, but it's also extremely exciting and life-affirming. So it was the perfect change for me after, you know, trying to make a home in LA. I just never totally connected with that city, but being here is actually, I don't know, it's just brought out a lot of inspiration for me. So we'll see how long I'm here for.
I remember Sting saying exactly the same thing. We were in New York and we had an interview lined up, and he was chatting, and he was saying, you know, I'm here because for exactly the same reasons as you are. You know, it's vibrant, and you can talk to everybody, and not just the people that come and stop you and might talk to you, but, you know, a homeless person or just anybody on the street, everybody's talking.
Oh, yeah. And that's why you can appreciate why I said silence, because one thing you need in the city is to get away from it sometimes.
That's right. Now, the worldwide fame that somebody that you used to know brought for you with Gautier, was that hard to adjust to? Was that the sort of start of big changes for you in your life?
Oh, of course, yeah. And it's kind of one of those things that you recognize more being older and looking back, because at the time of it happening, I was sort of, you know, on a whirlwind, you know. It was but more in the sense that I was touring a lot, so I didn't even really have that much time to sit and sort of process that there is this song that I was part of that is now number one in 18 countries, you know. I remember just coming into London for a show there and hearing, you know, getting a text or something that it had hit number one, you know, just that day as we had arrived, and it's quite a strange feeling, but I've got to get prepared for the show I'm playing that night, you know? So it's sort of, you think about it, but you also have got to keep doing the job you're doing. And there's not a whole time to sit and process it and celebrate, and it's just all happening. It's funny now, like having settled here in New York and having this time to write a new album, you reflect on a lot of that, yeah? And you start to think about what that meant and how it changed you and what you learned. And yeah, so I think it was the start of a lot of changes, but also probably a lot of maturity, you know? Like, getting a taste of a little bit of fame was super interesting, but also reminded me what is important as well, you know?
Are you and Gautier still in touch?
Totally, yeah. We're really good friends. So he lives in New York as well, and we see each other really often, actually. Like, I bump into him at gigs, and I go around to his place and listen to what he's working on. And, yeah, he's got a new album in the works, which will be done pretty soon, I reckon.
Oh, lovely. That's fantastic. And I also discovered about you, which is something I didn't know, and probably another good reason why this book asks these kind of questions. I had no idea of the extent of the work that you've done in Ethiopia.
Yeah, I've been there twice now. Yeah, that was pretty life-changing. But it wasn't through music or anything to do with that. I didn't sort of publicize the trip at all, except for sort of, you know, posting a little bit about it afterward. But yeah, it's just like sort of friends that were part of a charity called, well, an organization called Tirza that partner with a team in Ethiopia that are working exclusively with women and children, most of them affected by HIV. And I don't know, I think I just saw a video of a trip over there, and I had, you know, those moments where you just, a pin drops and you're like, I've got to experience that. And I've got to learn from those women, because I was so inspired by their strength. And yeah, the charity is really focused on what we can learn from these women, as opposed to kind of the handout mentality of what can a white woman go over and teach a woman in Africa. I really don't subscribe to that kind of thinking. I think we're, do you know what I mean? And so I think I was really, really moved by that attitude and the power of just going and listening to other women's stories. And a lot of these women have about 5 children, and they're younger than me, you know, suffering from HIV, and they're telling you stories about anxiety and insecurity and loneliness, and you just realize, oh my God, we are so the same right now. Our stories are, remote, very, very different in terms of the intensity of experiences and where and how they've occurred. But at the core, and I guess it's a lot of what the new album is about, but at the core, the primal heart, you know, it beats the same, and we're all kind of going through a lot of the same things. And I think, yeah, it's an incredible thing to go to a country so far removed from your own culture and recognize that in other people.
Mm. And your new album, so that's out early next year. Has that been a good experience, making this one?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a mix of experiences. You know, making an album's really tough at times, you know. It's like you worry maybe it'll never get done. I'm a kind of chronic perfectionist and, you know, highly detailed with what I do, and it sort of can get to those points where you wonder, am I ever going to get this finished? So there's difficult times, but also super, you know, liberating times as well. You write songs that feel like you lifted a real burden from your chest, and I think this is the most confessional I've been in a record, and the most honest I've been, and I've stripped away a lot of layers and let my voice really stand at the forefront, you know, and felt the confidence to do that. So yeah, I feel super proud of the record, and I really can't wait for it to be with everyone.
So you're about to tour Europe and the States, right?
That's right.
When can we expect to see you back here?
Yeah, I've got my fingers crossed for a full New Zealand tour. I feel like I haven't really done that, you know. I've done these kind of sort of one-offs, you know, and I keep saying to my booking agents, you know, I want to prioritize to get back into a proper New Zealand tour. So trust me, it's something I'm talking about a lot, and I'm fingers crossed for next year. And I plan to be spending Christmas back home and getting back to see my family as much as possible, which is also a big part of staying kind of sane in this city.
I was going to say, do you have much, you know, how much contact do you get with your family? Do you get to catch up much these days, or are you too busy?
No, of course, like Skype is such a help, and, you know, FaceTime, and definitely talking with them, you know, like every few days, really, like just keeping in touch on Skype. And yeah, so that's really great. And I do try to get back every year for Christmas, and it was great this year. I had a show back in New Zealand a couple of months ago, so it was good for the family to come up to Auckland and see that performance.
Oh, they must be so proud of you.
Yeah, I think it's a big deal for them, like, you know, seeing how far things have come since I was like a little girl on guitar and playing at the Dog's Bollocks in Auckland, as I well remember.
Awesome. Oh, Kimbra, thank you so much for your time this morning, and all the very best with your album release early next year. It's a great single that's out. We're playing that this morning. And all the very best for your tour. Thanks again.
Awesome. It was lovely to chat to you.
Thanks very much. You too. Thanks, Kimbra.